Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and the Emmy nominations came out. The nominations featured obvious contenders like Game of Thrones, which scored a record-breaking 32 nods, Veep, and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but it also made room for some new kids on the block, like 11 nominations for the Phoebe Waller-Bridges-led Fleabag. Joining me in studio are Atlantic's Sophie Gilbert and Vulture's Jen Chaney joins us on the phone. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Sophie, your analysis of the nominations for The Atlantic opened with this line. The question that's going to define the future of television is a simple one. Quality or quantity? Can you explain that and how it applies to these nominations?
Yeah, happily. I mean, the Emmy nominations each year are kind of an interesting way to see how power is parceled out in the television industry. It's obviously not a perfect metric, but it's an interesting one. And what you saw this year was that HBO really crushed. They had 137 nominations, I believe, to Netflix's 117. Last year was the first time in 17 years that anyone got more nominations total than HBO, and the provider that did was Netflix. And this year, HBO very much regained its crown and kind of asserted its power in this moment. Obviously, you had 32 nominations for Game of Thrones, the most nominations that any series has ever received. But you also had other shows, too. You had Chernobyl, you had Barry, you had Sharp Objects. I mean, HBO is really kind of flexing a little bit at the moment.
Sophie, let's dive into some of the categories. Outstanding drama series. What was expected here, and then what was unexpected?
I think obviously Game of Thrones was expected. You had a few old chestnuts on the list. I think Ozark was on there. But then there were a few surprises too. You had Bodyguard, which was a BBC show that Netflix imported. You had Pose, which is FX and Ryan Murphy's fantastic series. You had also Russian Doll, which is Netflix's... I don't want to call it a drama, but it lies in that weird in-between space mm-hmm. with Natasha Lyonne, where she keeps dying over and over again, which was really critically acclaimed and also a fan favorite as well. So it made space for new shows that I think had been very well received.
Jen, let's bring you into this conversation. Let's talk about outstanding comedy series. There's one we can't say on the air. I'll work that out for you. Veep, Barry, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, expected, but there were some welcome surprises. Fleabag, Good Place, Russian Doll, Blank Creek. What was your reaction to the comedy series?
I have to say, I was absolutely delighted by the nominees in this category for the reasons you just mentioned. You know, you did have some repeats in there, things that were expected. I mean, certainly I would have been shocked if Veep were not nominated for its final season. I fully expected Barry to get another nomination following on its nomination last year, and the same goes for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which actually won in this category. But to see some of these shows that have been around for a while but had never been recognized, The Good Place being one of them, and that other show about the creek being another, and Fleabag, too. I mean, this was its second season, but it really feels like all of a sudden everybody realized that Fleabag is amazing. And it was wonderful to see it not only recognized in this category, but with 11 nominations overall.
I was really interested in The Good Place. I think that's the only network show on that list.
That's right. It is.
Which is really interesting because we had the Paladinos in last week, I believe it was, and they were describing how hard it is to be creative on network TV these days. And so in some ways, when I look at this, I'm like, wow, The Good Place, you know what? They really must be doing great work over there to make that list up against all the streaming and all the premium cable.
Yeah, and the same thing is true in the drama category. I mean, NBC is also the only, you know, major network with a nomination in that category. And I think, you know, This Is Us and The Good Place are two pretty different shows, but they are doing really creative things in terms of narrative structure and format and playing with those storytelling conventions. And I think, you know, people are used to now watching these things on premium cable and streaming and things like that, and you know, network, NBC has been very smart about taking on shows like that.
My guests are Jen Chaney from Vulture and The Atlantic, Sophie Gilbert. We're breaking down the Emmy nominations. Sophie, one of your big takeaways was that the nominations were, as you put it, open-minded. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, I think one thing that was really interesting to me about the nominations this year was this the This was the first time, certainly, that I could remember where they were announced and they weren't met with kind of immediate scorn and dismay. I mean, obviously, no one's ever going to agree, but it was like Jen said, it was fantastic to see real critical favorites like Fleabag on the list, to see Russian Doll, to see Chernobyl, to see Blank Creek, which I think in its fifth season, this was the first time it's been nominated. So it was interesting just to see that the Academy really come out with a list that so many people seem to be okay with.
Jen, let's look at some of the lead actor and actress categories. What was unexpected here for you in either drama or comedy?
You know, I would say broadly across the acting categories in drama, just the number of nominations that actors from Game of Thrones received
was really
surprising. I expected Kit Harington to get a nomination for playing Jon Snow as a lead actor. I expected Emilia Clarke to maybe get a nomination. I did not expect the supporting actress in a drama category to be pretty much dominated by women from the show. You have 4 out of the 6 nominations going to actresses from Game of Thrones, and in the male supporting actor category, you've got half of them, or a little less than half, 3 of them going to actors from that show. So they really, that was a big surprise for me, just the degree to which they ran the table yesterday.
How about for you, Sophie, in the acting categories? Anybody that you're very excited got a nomination, and someone you think maybe deserved one who wasn't on the list?
I was really happy to see Billy Porter nominated.
Pose.
Yes, and the dominance of the Game of Thrones actors, unfortunately, I think made very little space for other supporting actors in other shows. So it was a shame not to see MJ Rodriguez nominated from Pose. One thing that I thought was interesting was the superstars who didn't get nominations, and there was a long list of them. I mean, if you cast Julia Roberts in your show, you're probably hoping that she's going to get nominated for something. But she did not for Homecoming. Jim Carrey did not for Showtime's Kidding. George Clooney for Catch-22. Emma Stone and Jonah Hill for Maniac. Renee Zellweger was in a show this year. I mean, they're huge stars. Huh. It speaks to just how much TV there is at the moment and how many tremendous actors are working in it that their names didn't even come up.
And the limited series featured a couple of really buzzy shows like Chernobyl and When They See Us. Those, I think, were the two that were top of mind for most people. Mm-hmm. Do you expect either of them to win? Does buzz matter when it's a limited series? Does it make a difference as opposed to a regular series?
That's a really good question. I mean, obviously, there's more opportunity for originality every year because they're one and done. Mm-hmm. So you get sort of fresh names and fresh faces, which I think you see with When They See Us. They were both such fantastic shows, really, really spectacularly done. Chernobyl was so ornate in its historical detail, and When They See Us was just this tremendous narrative that really changed how people had long thought about this particular case. So it was very affirming to see them both do so well.
Jen, I'm walking in the subway, I kept seeing all the ads for Trevor Noah saying don't pull a Green Book, make sure he's nominated. The talk category, it seems to be the same people over and over again, and they're all really interesting. I mean, it's The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Full Frontal, Jimmy Kimmel, Last Week Tonight, Late Show, Late Late Show. This seems like a category that's just tough to break into. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, frankly, it's a lot like the other categories had been historically, which is it almost feels like they just Xeroxed what they did last year and handed in again. You know, I was hoping to see someone like Hasan Minhaj, who had a really terrific Netflix series that debuted in the past year, maybe potentially break in here. But yeah, it is really tough. Or Seth Meyers, too. Like, I think his show is really great. It's been nominated consistently for writing, was nominated again for writing, but couldn't quite break into the main talk show category. And I don't know what it takes, but it does seem that one in particular is really kind of in a status quo place.
Yeah, Wyatt Cenac has a great show as well. I mean, there are other folks out there. I mean, these are all talented people, but it would be nice to see a little shakeup in that category at some point. I'm curious your thoughts about what they call outstanding structured reality program. And it's kind of a little bit interesting because it's Antique Roadshow, Drive-In and Dives Food, Queer Eye, Shark Tank, Tidying It with Marie Kondo, and Who Do You Think You Are? Could those shows be any more different?
They could not.
I mean, how do you judge a category like that?
You know, I mean, with the reality ones, they break them down into these little niches. So you have structured reality, unstructured reality, and competition. And, you know, I think that's just a way to divvy them up because there are so many of them.
Oh, interesting.
But
yeah.
As far as what will win in that category in particular, you know, I would think maybe Queer Eye or even Marie Kondo. And again, you talked about, does Buzz make a difference? And I think it kind of does, mm-hmm. Certainly in terms of bringing shows to people's attention and maybe helping voters feel like, oh, I have to prioritize this and watch this. So I think shows like that actually have a really good chance.
Okay, and our last minute, Sophie, what was your favorite nomination? The person you were really psyched or show you were really pleased?
I have to pick two. I'm so sorry. I was really happy to see When They See Us and Chernobyl both do so well. I thought they were just both stellar shows and really well done.
Jen, which nomination, you can pick two as well, that really you thought, yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm just going to pick a group. Every single last one for Fleabag. All of them. I was so happy. I was sorry that The Hot Priest didn't get nominated, but very happy for everyone else.
I'm going with Jodie Comer from Killing Eve.
Oh, yeah.
I was really happy to see her on that list. My guests have been Jen Chaney from Vulture and The Atlantic's Sophie Gilbert. Thank you so much for joining us to talk about the Emmy nods.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you so much for joining us.